This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome. So tonight's topic is an interesting one. It's a very topical one for us here in the UK. We are about to embark on a four-day, I think it is.
Recording in progress.
A four-day bank holiday to celebrate the Platinum Jubilee. Yeah, so we've got 4 days of celebrating the 70 years of reign of the Queen, and therefore I thought it'd be interesting for the Halacha Shir to talk about a topical, related halachic topic, and that is, do you make a bracha on the Queen? If you were to go tomorrow, or any of the next few days, and you would see her in person, maybe even not in person, what is the Halacha? Do you make a bracha on seeing royalty? And we'll spread it out more generally. Brachas for kings, queens, presidents, etc., etc. Now, imagine the following scenario. It's not far from Shavuos. So tomorrow, for example, you're walking up Gold's Green Road, and you want to go to Grudzinski. And as you're hovering outside Grudzinski, all of a sudden, the maroon state royal Bentley is driving down Gold's Green Road, pulls up outside Grudzinski, and the fellow gets out of the front, the driver with his peak cap and his smart suit, and he comes out and is heading towards Grudzinski. And he says to you, you know, what do you recommend? So you list off your favorites, and he heads into Grudzinski. And you sort of try your luck, and you think, Lamala, and you knock on the back window. And sure enough, the window comes down, and you have a nice chat with Her Majesty. And you think to yourself, hang on a second, really I should be making a bracha over here. You're seeing her in person. Do you make a bracha? Now, we'll come back to this scenario in a second, because this is going to link to the second shir for tonight, the Shavuot shir. Let's come back to this topic, because this raises lots of issues. What if she just drove past? What if you didn't actually see her live? What if she's behind, you know, she's in her fancy car or carriage, but you don't see her sort of in the, you know, she's not in front of you. Does that make a difference? What if you remember 10 years ago for the Golden Jubilee? Is it Golden or whatever it was? Diamond Jubilee. There was a boat, you know, sailing down the Thames. So what if you see her from a distance? Does that make a difference? So all of these different shilas. So let's take a look. The starting point is, if you've got the sheet in front of you, the starting point is a Gemara in Brachos Nunches Amud Aleph. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. So, the Gemara in Brachos Nunches Amud Aleph, this is the main source for this. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, La'olam yishtadel adam lorotz likras malchi Yisrael. A person should make every effort, should try to go to greet Jewish kings. For lo likras malchi Yisrael bevad, not only Jewish kings, ela afilu likras malchi umsa'olam, but even non-Jewish kings. Kings from the rest of the world. She'im Yizke, says the Gemara, that if you merit, Yavchin bein Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Umsa'ilam, you will be able to distinguish between Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Umsa'ilam. So what does that mean? What's the emphasis here? Mefarshim generally explain that it's worth seeing royalty because we'll be able to see how much greater the honor will be given to Moshiach. And therefore it's that difference that we're highlighting. Whatever honor and pomp and ceremony is given to an earthly king, how much more so, how great it will be when it comes to Moshiach. Fine. The Maharal Diskin says, actually, it's very practical. It's to teach us or to learn how to properly honor a Jewish king. So when you see the royalty and the honor given to the queen, so that will teach us how to behave to a Jewish king, Mitzvah Shem, in the fullness of time. And the Shulchan Aruch paskens this. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Mitzvah lishtadel liris melachim, afilu malchei umsa'ilam." Dayan Duna told me that when he was in Gesed Yeshiva, this was the Silver Jubilee. So that was the 25th anniversary, 1977, I think. That's a while ago. And he remembers Reb Leib Gurwitz was Rosh Yeshiva in Gesed, and the entire Yeshiva came out of Gesed Yeshiva. They lined the streets because there was a procession and the Queen was going past. And he was trying to make sure the boys fulfilled this Gemara and this Halacha of Mitzvah Lishtadel Liros Melachim Afilu Malchei Umsa'ilam. And those who were at the front, well, you know, they made the Bracha. Don't want to spoil the punchline, but that's going to be the Halacha. You do make the Bracha. Now, there are precedents to honor royalty throughout Tanakh, just two that I've picked out. One is in Parshas Miketz, when Yosef is taken out of the bur, out of prison. The pasuk says, "Vayishlach par vayikres Yosef, vayiritzu min abur, vayigalech vaychalech simloisof." He shaved, he had a haircut, and he changed his clothes. Vayovel paro, says Rashi, mipnei kovet hamalchus. He did all this in order to honor the king. Says the Teras Moshe, which is the Chasam Sofer. Says the Chasam Sofer, interestingly, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Yudamud Beis that this all took place on Rosh Hashanah. It says, "Be Rosh Hashanah Yotzi Yosef Beis Asurim." And we know Yosef kiyem haTorah ad shelo nitna. Yosef HaTzadik kept the entire Torah before it was given. Therefore, ve'eich niach legalech atzma biyontov, how could he allow himself to shave on yontov? Therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, lekach pirush Rashi, bishvil kovet hamalchus shari, that for kovet hamalchus you are even allowed in pre-matan Torah to shave on Rosh Hashanah to be mekayim the mitzvah of kovet malchus. And that's, he says, that the Chasam Sofer says, it's machlokes shach and taz, and this is according to the shitta of the shach. There's another precedent, of course, in Parshas Vayigash. The pasuk says later, when Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, Yosef introduced him to Paro. Says the pasuk, "Vayvorech Yaakov es Paro," that Yaakov benched Paro. Says the Chemdas Yomim, "Lama birch l'rasha." He was not a tzaddik. Why did Yaakov Avinu bless this wicked person? Says the Chemdas Yomim, "Mishum kovod malchus." Now here's the interesting line: "To Omri malchus de l'tato mein malchus de l'el." The earthly royalty gives you a feeling, a semblance of what real malchus is. That's the whole point. Fine. Now, the Gemara in Brachas carries on. Nun Ches Omad Aleph. Haroye Malchi Yisrael Oymeh Baruch Shecholak Mechvoide Lireyov. There is a bracha. Says the Gemara in Brachas, the bracha is when seeing a Jewish king, it's Shecholak Mechvoide Lireyov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu apportioned some of the honor due to him to those who fear him. Melech Umas Olam, when it's a non-Jewish king, it's Baruch Shenosim Nechvoide Lebos of Adam. And again, this is brought in Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Brachas in Reish Chaf Dalet. Paskins this. Amalchi Yisrael Omer Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shecholak Mechvoide Lebos of Adam. And on non-Jewish kings, it's Shenosim Nechvoide Lebos of Adam. Just in case you were thinking maybe it's only kings and not queens, the Shevet Halevi, Rav Ozna, says Mefurash, Be'einai Poshut Ma'oid LaHalacha, De'ein Chiluk Bein Melech LaMalka. No difference. So therefore, says Rav Ozna, it does not make a difference if it's a king or queen, you would make the bracha on a queen as well. Now, the question is, what constitutes the king or queen? In other words, do they need power? Maybe the Gemara is referring to kings and queens of old, where they had power of life and death, off with your head. But nowadays, really, the queen is more of a figurehead. She hasn't got the power that they had once upon a time. So maybe not. And moreover, the Rambam, when he brings this Gemara, he codifies this halacha, he adds an interesting word. Says the Rambam, paragraph 5, Haroye malch Yisrael oy meborach shenosim mechvoidoi umigvurosoi lireov. He adds the words gvura. The Radvaz says that according to this Rambam, you only make a bracha if the king has power, and he says la locha, if they've got to have the power to sentence people to death. Now, the Shevet Halevi makes a very interesting point. Look at the next paragraph. The Shevet Halevi again is Rav Ozna. V'chein poshet be'enai. It seems clear to me, says Rav Ozna, da'afilu ein biyod laharig mamish. Even if the king or queen has not got the capacity to kill, beli hisyatus in Rosh Hashilton, without governmental advisors, without their support, mikol mokum hayos hi ayhu hayos mukhbadim imam. Since the king or queen are getting there, they're the primary recipient of the honor. Imam v'cholkim lohem covered she'im dugma, so they get tremendous covered. It's appropriate to make the bracha on them. And he quotes this Radvaz, who says that honor and that that power is needed. But he says, "Hashem menu mekar hasvar the tzorich she biyod laharik shehuva bekitz magen avram etc." The ein hamadub elam elu shenisnam nol de hamelech. What is the Radvaz referring to? To those people who were appointed by the king or queen. So certain ministers, they, if they have the power of life and death, then you can make the bracha over the ministers themselves. But the king or queen, him or herself, regardless of whether they have the power to kill someone, you would still make the bracha on them. It's only on the appointees. If the king appoints someone and they have real power, power of life and death, then you can make on those people. But the king or queen herself, power is not needed. Why? Because if you're appointed by the king or queen and you haven't got that capacity, you haven't got that full power, so it shows that you're not, you know, so significant. However, but that doesn't apply to the king himself. That lack doesn't take away the bracha. They are the king. They are the recipient of all honor. And therefore, it's posha that you would make a bracha. Okay, now, what about a wicked king? What if you were to see a very wicked king? Or by extension, let's say you've got a person, a dictator. Yeah, you know, imagine Saddam Hussein. Clearly a wicked man who caused a lot of difficulty for Klal Yisrael, but he's the leader of a people, and he had the power of life and death. He could assassinate, or he could, summarily kill people. So do you make a bracha on him? So interestingly, the Kaf HaChaim says that it applies even to wicked kings, and the Dirshu notes in this siman in Shulchan Aruch, he brings a famous anecdote. It says that when the German Chancellor, this is at the end of the 19th century, when he visited Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld was the Rav in Yerushalayim at the time, he said not to make a bracha on him. And he gave a different reason, not that he didn't have the power or any other reason, other than he said this German Chancellor, the Kaiser, was Mizera Amalek, about which it says Moche Timche. This is already in the late 19th century, amazingly. And therefore, he said he was Zera Amalek, and you don't make a bracha on him. But were it not for that, l'chor, you would make a bracha. So you see that wicked kings, you still make a bracha on them. Now, there's a very interesting tshuva of the Rav Moshe Sternbuch. Rav Moshe Sternbuch, well known to us here in London, he left London, and then he went to South Africa, and then is now in Yerushalayim, of course, they are based in Yerushalayim. When he was in South Africa, he was asked a question, do you make a bracha on the president of South Africa? So what is the halacha generally with presidents? With kings and queens, it seems pretty clear you make the bracha. But what about presidents or even indeed prime ministers? If you were to have meetings, maybe you have had meetings with Prime Minister, with Boris Johnson, would you make a bracha on him? On one hand, he's got, you know, he's in the top job. On the other hand, he doesn't really have the power of life and death. But perhaps you could say that he has the power to declare war. Or to, in America, he's got the power to pardon capital punishments. So do you make a bracha on presidents or prime ministers? So take a look at this tshuva, very interesting tshuva. She'ela, al nasi ha-medina shel drum Africa, for chedoyme, im levorech shel nasi mechvoy. Did you make this bracha on a president, in his case, of South Africa? Says Rav Moshe Sternbuch, b'zichroini k'shegia le'eretz Yisrael le'bikur ha-nasi me'America. I remember, many years ago, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, that the president of America came to Israel. And the Rabbonim debated whether or not you make the bracha shenosim mechvoidei. The Ladaiti, and my opinion is, kiven she ma'amodu hu tolu v'omid b'achlotas beis hanivchorim, the United States of America, their president, he is subject to the electorate. You know, whether or not he's going to say a second term, it's up, not up to him. He may or may not be voted on. And since his power is very fettered, is very contained, therefore ein levorich. Aye, what is the difference between him, who probably has got more power than the Queen of England? So how come on her you do make a bracha, but on presidents not? And it's not compared to the melucha, the royalty in England, even today in the 21st century, shall kolchoik chodosh hamalka choisemes. Here's one difference. Did you know that the Queen has to sign off every piece of legislation? Now, although it's a procedural thing and she opens Parliament and she signs off legislation, but technically, no law can be passed without her, you know, royal approval. Another point is that her position is hereditary. First in line, second in line, tenth in line to the throne. As opposed to a prime minister or president, it's not hereditary. And the honor given to her is mamish, like tremendous, you know, covered given down to the kings over the generations. Even though she doesn't get involved in the day-to-day sort of political running of the country, at the end of the day, you need her signature on every statute. There's some very quirky laws, just by the way, that I saw yesterday, I read somewhere, that technically she owns every dolphin in any water in the British Isles. And she owns every mute swan. Another fun fact. So these are all quirky, historical, procedural type of laws, but says Reb Sternbuch, at the end of the day, her honor is real, and therefore you make a bracha. And the covet given to her has not diminished over the years, etc., etc. Now, other poskim do argue regarding the president, and they say that you could and you should make a bracha on the president of America. And the reasons they say is because that they have the power to declare war, and like I said, to pardon capital punishments, etc. So far the story is, over royalty, kings or queens, you would make a bracha. Over presidents, the machlokas amongst the poskim, some say yes and some say no. It's always good to know that you can err on the side of caution, and if there's a sofik, you make the bracha without shem v'malchus. Right? That's always but with a king or queen, you would make the bracha with shem v'malchus. Now, let's go back to our royal motorcade outside Grudzinski. So there's a famous Gemara. Again, it's the same Gemara in Brachos and Ches and Dalav. Take a look at paragraph 8. Rosheshes Sagi Norhava. Gemara in Brachos and Ches and Dalav. Rosheshes was blind. Hava ka'ozdi kula amal kbuli api malka. Now, when he was living, all the people were running out to visit a passing royalty, passing king. V'kom ozobadai Rosheshes. Rosheshes himself wanted to go to greet this king. I guess to make the bracha, lahavchin, like we discussed. Ashkechei hahu minna. There was a certain min, an apikorus, who met Rav Sheshes on his way out to sort of go with all the all the people who wanted to see the king. Amalei chatz l'nahar kagani laya. In a very disparaging, disrespectful way, this min, this apikorus, said to Rav Sheshes, you can't see, you're blind. Why are you going? What are you going to see? Omalei, Sir Shesha said back to this min, say Chozi, take a look. Diadana Tfeminoch, you'll see that I know more than you. What happened? Cholaf Gunda Kamaisa, the first wave of people came past, the procession went past. So Kiko Avsha, when it became very noisy, Omalei Hahumina, the min said, oh, Osamalka, here comes the king. So Omalei Rav Shesha, no, Loka Osi. No, you're missing it. He's not coming. Cholaf gundat tinyana. A second wave of the procession came past. Kiko avshan, when it got very noisy, everyone was clapping and cheering. And omalei hahumina, oh, hashtaka osimalka, the king's coming. Omalei rosheshes loka osimalka. No, the king's not coming yet. Again, rosheshes is blind. Cholif tlisoi, when a third wave of the procession went past, suddenly kiko shoske became very silent. Omalei rosheshes, rosheshes said, Vadai hashta osimalka. Clearly the king is coming now. Omaleahu mina minolacho. And sure enough, the king went past. So he said, how did you know? So omalei, to malchusa da arakein, malchusa da rakia. The earthly kingdom is just a sort of a mirror, if you like, a semblance. It gives us a smell of what real malchus is, of malchus in Shemayim. And it says about malchus in Shemayim, tichsiv, tseva mata baharif ne Hashem, v'ne Hashem oiver v'ruach gadoil v'chozog mefarik harim. The noise and the strength of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is smashing mountains and Meshabbat Slum and breaking stones. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in that wind, in that strong breaking wind. But V'lo B'Rash Hashem, and Hashem is not in that noise. V'ach HaRash Eish, and after the Rash and that tremendous noise, there's fire. Lo B'Eish Hashem. V'ach HaEish Kol D'mam Dako. After the fire and all this noise, there's this very still, silent sound. Ki osa malka, and that's when the melech comes. So you see, that's how he knew. And the Gemara says that he carried on and says that the king went past in that silence, and mo posach rav sheshes v'kama varachli. Fine. And then he made the bracha. And in fact, the min said, omaleahu min leman de lechozes lekama varachas. You can't see, and yet you're making a bracha. So fine. And then, so you see from this Gemara, rav sheshes is a precedent that even though he was blind, you still make the bracha. What happened to the min? He was very disrespectful, so his end was not a happy one. Okay. But the Chida in Birkei Yosef says that a blind person, and indeed anyone seeing a royal entourage, makes the bracha, even if the king is behind some sort of barrier, like in a carriage, or is not visible in sort of behind tinted windows, behind the sort of the Bentley, the royal Bentley, you still make the bracha, because the proof is Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes couldn't see the king, but the king was there. So if the queen didn't want to wind down the windows outside Kuczynski, then but you knew she was there somehow, or you went to the procession in the next few days and the queen was there and you just can't see her, then according to the Chida, you would make the bracha, even if she's behind tinted windows or whatever. However, the Ksav Sofer brought in the Chasam Sofer on the second box, he argues and he distinguishes between a blind man and being behind this sort of partition. What's the chiluk? The chiluk is this. With Rav Sheshes, the king was there. It's just that he couldn't see him. Masha'inkein, if the queen or the king is sitting in a car with tinted windows and you can't see, there's a partition, there's a machitza behind, and maybe that's different. So again, the poskim with this, whether or not if you see the car go past and you can't actually, if there's a window and you can see through, then I think it's clearly make a bracha. But if it's tinted or if it's from a distance and you can't see the queen and she's behind some sort of partition, then this would be a machlokas between the chida and the ksav sofer. Okay, let's just take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in paragraph 9. He brings this. He says, "Umash b'gemara afilu suma, even a blind person kashiyadeh shamelech over mevorich." When he knows that the king is going past, he would make a bracha based on the above Gemara. Okay, fine. So, just to summarize, what have we said? Do you make a bracha if that were to happen? Kuczynski tomorrow. Yeah, just be there, maybe, you never know. If you were be there tomorrow and the queen would go past, so then it would seem pretty clear if she's there, she's visible, that you would indeed make a bracha on her. The bracha that we brought of Shenosan, however, if on a president or a prime minister, then that is debated, machlokas in the poskim. It turns on whether or not they have sufficient power and sufficient honor, because you could argue that their positions are not hereditary, they're elected, etc., etc. On the other hand, other poskim say that they do have the power to declare war, to pardon capital punishments, and that could be sufficient. So that's machlokas in the poskim. If the queen is behind some sort of barrier where you can't actually see her, but you know she's there, then that will be subject to this machlokas between the chida and the ksav sofer. Okay, let's leave that there.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.